The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at @RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of the Functional Sportsaholic, or as we like to call it, the Sports Talk Revolution. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us in Podcast One. Today you are listening to Sean, Ryan, and Sam Van Dam. Sam, how you doing, buddy?
What up, man? Just another week on the grind.
Another week of the grind. I believe next Friday I will be there. There's some stuff kind of going on in the personal life that may prohibit me once again from flying down, so I might have to cancel the trip, but we are planning on connecting live next week. I want to go to that bar, but we're gonna have to go late because I have to take my mom in Orlando out to a nice birthday dinner. So
perfect.
We will have to connect late, though. I do think I'm gonna be staying with you the whole time. So
perfect.
Cool, buddy. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Want to talk a little bit about Jalen Ramsey. Want to talk a little bit about the Dennis Rodman 30 for 30 that Sam and I both watched. And then we'll close it up with the NFL power rankings for week two. But before we jump in, Sam, may as well just say, you know, I was looking on BovadaSportsbook.com. I see that the Patriots are still favored, as I talked to Brad about earlier this week. To me, this looks like Patriots and Chiefs and everybody else. But let's start, I guess, because of that, let's start with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Before I go forward, anywhere forward, Gardner Minshew, this backup quarterback who's playing, he's looking pretty good, by the way, as you'll see in my Fantasy Football Fallout episode, which is available on Underdog TV. On YouTube, by the way. We don't actually have a TV station. It's YouTube, Underdog TV. Gardner Minshew, I noticed his jersey says Minshew II, Minshew the second. And isn't it weird, Sam, if you name somebody like, you know, obviously, so his dad or his grandfather or whatever was named Gardner Minshew, right?
Actually, no.
No.
That's what makes the story even weirder.
Okay, so you tell me then,
no,
because...
His dad just named him the second, even though there is no first.
I said last week on one of my fantasy football fallouts, he looks like if Roger Federer and Burt Reynolds from the 70s had a love child. That's Gardner Minshew is who they'd spit out. So Gardner Minshew the second. What I think is weird is anybody who names their kid the second instead of just calling him junior, aren't you basically just saying, I want you to name your kid after me too? Aren't you basically saying, I want there to be a third? Because you don't really see a lot of twos out there. You see a lot of juniors. But if you put the II, if you put the two out there, you're basically saying, I expect you to name your son after me. That's it, right? There's no other way.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a dying breed of naming your kids after you. I don't know too many people do that anymore. I think a lot of people still will combine a family name somewhere in the middle name or whatever. I know I've done that. I know you've done that.
Right.
Just going with the complete, like, I want you to have my name.
Yeah.
Just doesn't I don't think exists as much, you know, in our generation and generations after us.
Like Prince Edward the 14th, you know.
Right. Yeah. We don't, you know, we try to get a little bit more creative and let people have their own individuality.
I know. Now you just see like random grocery store items to be like, you know, Hummus Ryan, son
right.
of Sean. You're getting weirder and weirder stuff. There's I was at a preschool for my daughter, and there's a Gunner in there, which I actually kind of like that name, Gunner. There's like a lot of like more like weird and obscure stuff. You're just like random adjectives and verbs. You're getting like, you know, table Ryan,
right.
son of
right.
you know, daughter of Sean Ryan, the table. You know, drill bit. Drillbit yeah. Taylor. There you go. So let's talk about Jalen Ramsey a little bit. So this is like the most bizarre thing I saw because, you know, is people who I guess follow me a little bit, I'm doing these fantasy football fallouts on YouTube. I know you've seen them, Sam. If you haven't checked them out, these are like 5 to 10 minute videos just about me watching the game. So the deal is I watch every game every week, every single play of the game too. So I have NFL Game Pass. I watch the condensed versions, and you have to do that as a fantasy football, I guess, and better, right? Because I bet a lot too. You have to watch the games to see, like, you know, how are the offensive lines playing? Who are the young guys? Like, there's a young guy in Detroit who I like quite a bit that I don't think anybody would have known about if I hadn't, or I certainly wouldn't have known about him if I hadn't been watching the tape. And I saw this guy Ty Johnson in Detroit. I was just like, holy crap, this guy looks good. And wouldn't you know it, you know, I think Detroit waived C.J. Anderson right after this game, right after he played really well. And, you know, you understand why when you go back and you watch the game. So, you know, I have the TV, Sam, you've seen them. I have about four games going live that I watch at all times of day. So after, on a typical Sunday, I'll have watched about 7 to 8 games live, not including Thursday night and Sunday night and Monday night football. So I actually watch, you know, probably about 11 games a week live. And then I'll go back and whichever ones I don't watch, I'll clean up and I'll watch on Game Pass. But then the other thing too is that, you know, I cycle through the games. So I don't watch the same teams every week because usually I like to cycle through. So like I usually pick different teams that I haven't watched live in a while too. But anyway, I was watching this Jacksonville stuff last week, and I saw that like early in the game when they were playing the Texans, I saw Jalen Ramsey just go ape shit when they didn't call the pass interference penalty, or I'm sorry, he wanted them to challenge a first down reception to DeAndre Hopkins because he felt very passionately, apparently, that Hopkins didn't catch the pass. Then he and Marone got into it on the sidelines. I don't like I'm not a big Doug Marone fan anyway. And I was just like, I commented on the fantasy football fallout, you know, he was having a tantrum. Well, after I posted that video, you see that he's asked for a trade that all stems from this. And I just thought this is really weird, but let me get your thoughts on it.
Man, he's a weird dude. And yeah. Doug Marone is a blowhard.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
Doug totally. Marone's, you know, Doug Marone's a guy that's like the head of the HOA president, you know,
oh,
he's the
gosh,
president
yeah.
of the HOA.
And he's telling you to like cut your grass more frequently.
So I felt like it was only a matter of time before these two got into it because it's just two totally different
generations,
culture and, aspects. Yeah, yeah. Generations. And you just, you know, Doug Marone still thinks, you know, he's still got like that drill sergeant kind of mind. And you and I have talked about this
with Gruden
a million times.
Yeah.
It's just that stuff's going away, man. You got to be able to relate somewhat to these players and know that the kind of money these guys make and the kind of money they can make and where they can go and how they can sometimes dictate their own, you know, futures. You got to at least try to have a good, you know, front from the head coach. But yeah, I mean, it didn't really surprise me. It's kind of surprising this early in the year after he was, you know, all gung ho. And now he's just like, I want to be traded because I got into one argument.
Yeah,
but I just think that's a millennial thing. That's a, you know, that's a cultural thing of what's going on, you know, just in pro sports all throughout, you know, all of them right now. If these guys don't like something for, you know, if they have a, you know, a bad 20 minutes out of their day, they want to leave. I mean, think about it. That's what it was.
I know.
You
know, and he came through
a bad 20 minutes, you know, and it's like, all right, now I don't want to be a part of this franchise anymore.
And there, I mean, a few good quips there. So you mentioned, I think Chris and Anshu on the Underdog this week, they had a nice segment about how the NFL is turning into the NBA with some of this stuff. I mean, you see and they were talking about Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, you saw it with Antonio Brown getting himself out of Oakland and all that stuff. And they are starting to dictate their terms a little bit. Now, the NFL is a little harder to do that because there are salary cap ramifications. It's not as easy as, hey, I'm just going to trade this salary and you're going to take the right salary, because there's accelerated money. So it's not always going to be that way, at least not until we get a new collective bargaining agreement, which, you know, there's likely to be a lockout or a strike next year, which would break my heart, but I'm sure they'll figure out how to get the, you know, everything going. But yeah, so there's that. And then, gosh, what was the last thing you said? I had the 20 minutes out of your day. We were talking, so Jalen Ramsey came through FSU, and you and me growing up in Central Florida, we know people that have gone through that FSU program.
Right.
And that's when, like, the Jameis Winston allegations that came out, and, you know, there's always, like, it's a very polarizing topic. It's a very serious allegation, you know, the rape stuff. And you know what people say nationally is like, well, you know, it's he said, she said. You got to give, you know, fair stuff. It didn't go to trial. It didn't go to court. But what you and I know, Sam, being a little bit more local to the situation, is if you're a starting quarterback on a football team in a small town in a place like Tallahassee or Gainesville. And I'm using those two specifically, not like in Orlando, where UCF, not in Miami, but like small towns that
college
have,
towns.
Yeah, college yeah. towns. And you could say the same, I guess, with like a Tuscaloosa or any other, just, like Penn State, you know, it took
right.
forever for
Madison,
like the,
Wisconsin,
right. Like, know, what like did we see with, have, yeah. what did we see with Joe Pa and, in right. Penn State when all that stuff went down with Sandusky? So like when you get these things, like you see police people being discouraged. You see campus policemen discouraging, you know, people from coming out against anything because they don't want any negative press about their favorite team coming out. And it's a very real thing, you know. Isolated incident aside, you know, did he do it? Did he not do it? I'm not commenting on that. What I'm commenting on is basically these people in small college towns, like these star players, are basically their butts are kissed for years. So you have a guy whose butt was kissed in high school, whose butt was kissed in college, and these kind of like the younger mentality is like, hey, you know, I want my butt kissed in the NFL too. And
right.
so when you pair those up with like a guy that doesn't really play that game, you know, Tom Coughlin in the front office, and I'm sure Tom Coughlin likes Doug Marrone. I just think he's a fossil for this league, and I think that Jacksonville could be doing better, although I will say they did make the AFC championship game like 2 years ago, so with Blake Bortles at quarterback. So
very true.
But that's not because of Marrone, man. It's because of the defense. That defense is still sick.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I was going to say before is, you know, New England being the odds-on favorite, you know, there's talk about, or I guess rumors. It's really just media speculation. I mean, there's nothing, I don't think, inside the building, but Kansas City being a team that might be interested in trading, you know, a lion's share, you know, of draft picks to get Jalen Ramsey to basically counteract the Antonio Brown acquisition in New England. And I got to say, like, to me, New England is probably the spoiler alert from my power rankings. New England's probably a little ahead of Kansas City at this point. You know, if they get Jalen Ramsey, then you got to say, you know, that's a toss up for me. That's like the home game win. The home team wins that AFC championship game in all likelihood. So it'll be an interesting to see how that shakes out. I think Bovada right now has Jacksonville at plus 6,600. They also have, let me look, Kansas City at plus 700, New England at plus 300 right now. So if Jalen Ramsey, you got to figure Bovada would move, you know, Jacksonville down and Kansas City like probably up to like 300-400, something like that, if that trade were to go through. But that would be really interesting. As a football fan, as a football connoisseur, as a football bettor, I would love to see that happen just because, you know, I want to see those two Titans lock up in that AFC championship game. Assuming we get there, there's a long season. Injuries could happen. Other teams could flourish. But that's the way it's looking right now, right, man?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Can't really get around that.
Staff.
So let's talk a little bit. Let's move on. Talk a little bit about the 30 for 30. You and I both took in that Dennis Rodman 30 for 30. I saw it last night. I don't know when you got a chance to connect and watch that, but you know, it just like regular, I guess, like starting insights. Like, what did you think at a high level of this thing? What did you find interesting about it?
Well, I mean, you really see how somebody's brought up and how it can shape them.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's one of the big things I took away from it, and you know, his inability to have relationships with even people that you would deem as close to him as could possibly get, as you know, taking a really bad, you know, turn in his personal life, and you know, to see the stuff with his kids and how he hasn't been able to you know, be around for them, besides maybe on a financial, you know, standpoint, is, you know, that was a tough watch.
It was, you know, a tough watch.
You can see a guy who's really, really just hurt and really just wants to be loved, but doesn't know how to be loved. You know, I think that's,
yeah, he's so broken that he pushes away
right.
unconditional love. And
right.
you know, the mother stuff, the you know, I don't get it. Now you don't, I know you don't get it any either, but like any father who just doesn't want to be around their kids as much as possible, that does not compute with me. I don't get it. Right. You know, and they mentioned his father's name literally is Philander, which was interesting. And he has, I think, 25 kids in Thailand, and he came back when Rodman was at the peak of his fame to try to, you know, get a piece of that, which is a real bummer. I mean, there are some ass bag fathers out there. I got to say, like, on the ranking scale, you got to figure, you know, abuse, sexual, physical, mental abuse is probably the worst thing. I'd rather have no father than somebody who's abusive, right?
Right.
And then that, like, being around and having no father is awful. And then Dennis Rodman, like, you can see that, like, he knows he wants to, he should connect and he wants to connect, but he's, like, self-sabotaging. It really was sad to watch. I didn't expect to see that.
Yeah, it was tough, man. Because it's almost he doesn't know how to, you know. It's like he wants love, but he just does not know how to,
or doesn't think he deserves
it. And doesn't think he deserves it, you know.
Yeah,
and that's tough.
Yeah, and you can see, like, his daughter. I mean, it's heartbreaking, because then his daughter, who he had when, like, I think he was, like, still with the Pistons in his second year in the league, like, she's had a kid, so he's a grandfather now, and he's met his grandkid, but she's crying all the time, and she's still hopeful she can connect. And, I mean, like, these people want to connect with them. And then his ex-wife was saying that he's not in their lives at all and not around for them, not there for them, and the kids are starting up. It's just a bummer, man. I felt bad. And then, like, so moving it, I guess, forward or backward, depending on, you know, your take on this thing. So he was in college. He kind of connected with that white family, with that kid. And they didn't really tie that up. They interviewed him, and, like, it ended with basically, like, he walked out when that his, I guess, surrogate mother, you could call her, called him the N-word, and he walked out. And then there was no resolution to that. It's like he went back, and it seemed like he had forgiven her for it, but then we didn't see her for the rest of the thing. I'm just like, whoa, what's this? Yeah. I mean, did they fall out? Like, they showed the kid that he had connected with, and they just didn't talk about the relationship.
Yeah, like, where are they now?
Yeah,
like,
did it fizzle out? They didn't even talk about it fizzling out. They didn't do that. They didn't like, it was just like hard stop. I was like, what the hell happened there? Like, do they talk to the community? I got to assume they don't, based on his, you know, I guess his style and him pushing away people. But, you know, that kid that he was close with still loves him, regardless of whether or not the, you know, the parents, who I'm sure are racist based on, you know, the slant in the, in the documentary there. But that was wild. What else? You know, I found it interesting to hear about, you know, how Jordan and Phil Jackson were talking about him coming in, you know, and coming into the Bulls. That was interesting. I thought it was really kind of interesting that Isaiah Thomas, like, was commenting about, like, how he was just kind of crying out for help, and he started crying and had to walk off, you know, from... It was kind of cool to watch and see, because you know how, you know, those bad boy Pistons, how hated they were in the NBA, but they were a really close-knit team.
They were, and Chuck Daly used to take, you know, Dennis spent a lot of Thanksgivings and Christmases at, you know, Chuck Daly's house. You know, and it's really, you know, and Isaiah took up for him. And, you know, I think that's kind of why he was the way he was in Detroit, because he had that sense of family. And then once he started to get out there a little bit, he just kind of got loose, you know. And I think everything since then has just been kind of a cry for help.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've kind of, you know, there's been a few times in life where I've kind of buried Dennis Rodman, where I'm like, yeah, it's just not going to end well. And I still have that feeling where it's not going to end well. He's lived longer than I thought he would. I just thought at some point he might, you know, take his own life, or OD, or, you know, DUI, you know, where he drives into something, and, you know, but
he's still ticking, man. He is. There was that quip where he took 40 Jaeger shots and then played the next day, and like nothing had happened. So, I mean, he's got like a crazy metabolism. He can because the stories about his drinking, even Jordan who partied,
right.
Even Jordan came out and was like, I didn't think that guy was going to make it to 40. If you like my show, you're going to love the Jordan Harbinger Show on Podcast One. This week, Jordan joins former NBA Lakers superstar and Oscar Award winner Kobe Bryant for an unforgettable conversation that you don't want to miss. Check out the Jordan Harbinger Show every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Football is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets every time, all season long. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action. Dude, I use it. You don't even have to use it for sports either. I use it all the time for, you know, concerts. Chicago, a lot of people come through in Chicago all the time. Comedy, pretty much anything you can get a seat to, SeatGeek has you covered. I have the SeatGeek app. It's the easiest thing to use, and it's by far like the best way because you get different ratings. It's just, guys, I just can't say it enough. This is one of my favorite promos. SeatGeek, they're like a great partner, great deal. And best of all my listeners, you get $10 off with your first SeatGeek purchase. All you have to do is download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code SPORTSAHOLIC today. That's promo code SPORTSAHOLIC, just like you see it spelt in our logo, SPORTSAHOLIC, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, baby. We have the tickets. You know, very good. It was a good watch, but it was like one of those things, like the, was it like Manchester by the Sea, that Casey Affleck movie?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I never saw that movie, but like everybody was like critically acclaiming it and it won some Oscar. I think he walked away with an Oscar maybe for best actor or something like that. And I remember like seeing that and just like, you know, it's basically a 2-hour punch to the nuts. Why am I going to watch that and be depressed?
Man, that's like Mystic River. I think we saw that together. Oh, it's like that Sean Penn movie, and it was like, you know, it's a great movie. I felt like I needed to take a shower after I was done. I felt like I needed to cry. Like, I was like, I never want to see that movie ever again. No. Like, even when I see the name of it, I'm like, it's like, why? You know, it's like, it's like a sad, like, leaves you feeling like shitty.
Why seek pain? You know, so you're paying, right? Whether you're streaming it on something or whether you're going to the movie theater. And you and I used to see like movies, like we would see 2 or 3 movies a weekend, back when we were younger, and we weren't, I shouldn't say encumbered, but we didn't really have anything else to do. Like we didn't really have any obligations or, expectations.
Yeah, it was just what we did.
Just, you know, screwing around as like college kids and stuff. So we would go see movies. That was our thing. And I used to see like all the movies. I would see like, you know, the good ones, the critically acclaimed ones and all that. Now that I'm older, it's just like, I try to explain this to some people, and I just say like, dude, like why do I want to pay money to feel shitty? Like it's like, I don't want to go to a movie theater and cry. I don't want to, you know, take something home with me that's heavy on a weekend. Like I got enough stuff to worry about in my real life. I got enough stress to worry about my real life. You know, I want to see stupid movies that make me laugh. Like Grandma's Boy, I can watch over and over again. You know, what's that other one that I like? That other Adam Sandler movie that everybody hates with Andy Samberg in it. That's my boy. I can watch that to no end. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's getting like a score of a one on Rotten Tomatoes. And I tell you, you know
what? But it makes you laugh.
It makes me laugh. And I get enough real during the week. I don't need anything else. So,
bro, I'm the same way. Hey. You know, I've been watching Zohan like every day for like 2 weeks just because it's on Netflix. And I'm like, man, this is such a dumb movie.
Yeah.
But like, it cracks me up. And I'm like, you know, my day is heavy enough, man. By the end of the day, I just want something that I can like zone out and just be stupid with. Like, I don't want to feel heavy, like, you know, right before I go to bed or whatever.
Yeah, it's a kind of a weird thing. I wonder when that shift, that shift happened somewhere in my late 20s. And I think the more responsibility, and maybe it's the same with you. I mean, the more responsibility we get for work, you know, at work. And then I know you had kids younger, younger than I did, not by much, but you know, by a few years.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you spend all day at work, then you come home, then you have to care for somebody. And, you know, not every day is perfect. I mean, it's the best thing in the world, being a father and all that, but not every day is perfect.
But it's the toughest thing.
And so you work all day, then you come home and you work more. And me, who works at home, I never leave. So I hear crying and screaming all day. And then like at the end of the night, what do I want to do? It's like my wife and I will be laying in bed. It's like, you know, it's 8:30 at night by that point where we can really just kind of sit down and relax. Cause we work, you know, then my wife and I, both work on our laptops and stuff. I'm trying to like, do the SEO and put the right tags on my YouTube videos that I'm building, you know, the channel. And my wife is, you know, running shit because she's basically bringing home the bacon at this point. So really, we probably put our laptops or our screens away at like 9, and then we fall asleep by 10. So we have an hour. What are we going to do? Are we going to cry for that hour? You know, like this, right. The big thing, you know, the big network TV show right now is This Is Us, right? And, right. And that's not my demographic at all. But people keep saying like, oh, you know, tell my wife, oh, you should watch it. It's so good. It's so good. And then she'll be like, you know, well, how did it go? And they're like, oh, we cried the whole hour. It's like we get 1 hour a day right now. Like, well, I'm not going to cry during that hour. I just want to watch something. So we end up watching like Ink Master or we watch.
Right. Yeah, something stupid.
MTV's Challenge we're watching. X on the Beach, we're watching. Really just the lowest of the low. And, you know, people like will tell people, and I'll say this, and they're like, oh, you watch that garbage. Look, I get enough cerebral stimulation during the day trying to grow a business. My wife is you know, a VP at her company. Like,
right.
I've been a VP, like, for the last, like, you know, 5 or 10 years, like, in the corporate world. I get enough cerebral stretching, okay?
Right.
I, at some point, I really just want a hamster just kind of aimlessly running around in a wheel upstairs. Because I got to fall asleep. I don't want to be thinking about, like, all the stuff I have to do from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, tossing and turning, man. I got to turn the brain off.
Yeah, and you don't want to be depressed crying.
Oh, my gosh. Then I dream. I'd rather be dreaming about naked women. You know, I don't want to be dreaming about freaking This Is Us. And what happened to Jack or whatever the guy's name is in the show. I want to be dreaming about, like, just naked women just running around, frolicking in the morning dew in a mountain.
I got you, man.
Just 1,000 of my wife running around naked. I wouldn't think about
there
anybody.
There you go. I was about to say, can we correct that?
Nah, my wife doesn't give a crap. But she dreams about naked guys. It's not me. I'm like, well, good. At least you're getting something you like from somewhere.
Centaurs.
Do you ever wonder? Here's a centaur. Centaurs, yeah, well-hung centaurs. Do you ever get the feeling, because you know those dreams are like, they feel so real sometimes. You ever get the feeling like there's like alternate universes that you're just like, you're going inside yourself in an alternate new universe, and you're like, this is what's happening in this planet, and this is what's happening in that planet. It's wild, man. There you go. We talked about aliens the other week. There's the other side of that.
Yeah.
Naked centaurs. Do they have women centaurs?
I was in middle school high school, and I dreamed that there was this girl that I was with in the dream, and I was like, oh, she had a mole in the dream, like right on her upper leg, and then I saw the mole like
in real life
later on, and I was like, what? Like, that's obviously there's all these some universes, sort of, man, in a simulation, you know, or something, you know.
They're all connected.
I don't know, man. We're all connected.
I love my wife very much.
I love her too.
Yeah, she's very nice. Very nice girl.
She's a damn saint.
Yeah, she is. She is a saint. She's like the best thing in the world. Can you imagine, like, if I had married any of the other ones that I dated, how awful my life would be right now? Oh, goodness.
Yeah, no.
I lucked out, man. I lucked out with that one, that's for sure. It's her birthday this weekend.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
To a goddess.
To a goddess, yeah. The most wonderful woman. She puts up with me and my beards and... Me building YouTube studios in my office, and you know, I got to be finishing the basement. I'm gonna be doing some man stuff.
Get her cookie cake, man.
She doesn't like cookie cake. She doesn't like cookie cake. Maybe I'll make her some brownies.
That's her one flaw, then, man.
The cookie cake store by us went out of business, brother.
I got to go to that outlet, man.
I know. That's the one.
Went out
of business. Went out. Yeah, and that outlet, that high traffic outlet, went out of business. I think there's one place in the whole like suburb area where I'm from that can do it. So that's a bummer. Oh, let me look. By the way, since we were talking about Dennis Rodman, the odds are not good. I was looking up at the Pistons and the Bulls odds. The Pistons, Bovada has them at +17,500 to win the NBA championship this year, and the Bulls are worse at 20,000. So, not so good. Not great prospects for the for those teams. Dennis Rodman's,
previous
employers, right?
Teams. Yeah, previous employers.
Yep. All right, Sam, and I know you mute out for this. I think we can move it over to the Week 2 power rankings. And just to remind everybody, I treat this almost like the NCAA football, treats their rankings. So I give favoritism to the undefeated teams. I'm not doing the Power Five or the non-Power Five teams. So I don't prefer specific divisions. But you know, basically, just to let you know, if you're a fan of somebody, it's not that I haven't noticed that your team's good. For example, Minnesota fell off this week because they lost to Green Bay. I like Minnesota quite a bit, so don't take any offense to that. I'm really just trying to give credit where credit is due to the early season records at this point, just to talk about everybody. As we shake on during the season, believe me, I'm going to rank this. And also the way I look at it is right now, like within this list, if I had to bet, like who would win on a neutral field, that, you know, this is the team that I would pick. So I know it's can be polarizing at sometimes. Try not to get your panties into twists, you know, if I didn't put your team in there, because I like a lot of teams and it's just hard to fit 10 in there. And I like to talk about different teams from time to time too. So let me just get into it. I'm going to go from 10 to 1. The first team on my list is actually, I think, the lone 1-1 team on this list. It's the Philadelphia Eagles. And the reason I chose the Philadelphia Eagles as the singular 1-1 team to get on this list right now is because they lost that Atlanta game. They were within a half yard of extending that drive at the end of the game. They could have easily covered that spread this weekend. But, you know, Zach Ertz, and he got tackled. I mean, that was a reviewable play. That could have gone either way. Basically, if the officials had spotted that at a first down, the review would not have overturned it. It was that close. But they were missing Alshon Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. Now, those guys will come back. What I like about Philadelphia is their run defense is stout. Their offense looks like it's in midseason form already. I really like what I'm seeing from Carson Wentz when he has his full stable of receivers. You know, Zach Ertz, for example, was the only tight end on the roster, and they were rolling with Nelson Aguilar and Hollins and Arcega Whiteside. Really, I think going forward, this is, you know, the Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Goddard, Aguilar, Arcega Whiteside. When you have all those guys, this team's going to be able to move the ball. What I don't like about Philadelphia is two things. One, they can't get the running game going. If you can't get the running game going against Atlanta, I'm a little worried. Now, Minnesota, you know, in working with them, I take it back. Sorry, I was thinking about Atlanta. Atlanta gave up some yards to Minnesota. I'm not so worried about, and that's why Philadelphia couldn't get it going. But, you know, Washington, I think their defense is underrated, you know, in week one. But to see Atlanta kind of stuff their run game down, you know, I don't know what to think about that. Maybe Atlanta's defense is improving after kind of getting punched in the face in that week one matchup. Maybe not. We'll see going forward. But Philadelphia, I think they're a little bit better. They also give up a little bit too many passing yards. Detroit plays them this week. I actually think Matt Stafford will have a nice game. Sorry, Detroit fans, but your 1-0-1 team did not make the list this week. That's not to say I don't respect what they're doing. I noticed them, so I want to give you some love as well, Detroit fans. 1-0-1. I love that Ty Johnson, that young guy. I love Kerryon Johnson, by the way. I think he's a really, really good running back. Like I said, I think Stafford, I think this passing game is going to get going this week. I think they'll have big games. Hey, if they handle their business against Philadelphia, they make the list next week. I can promise you that. A 2-0-1 Lions team will make the list next week if they can knock off Philly. Let's see. Number 9. Philly, by the way, is plus 1,500. If you're into futures bets, I actually like that one. Bovada, plus 1,500. Get it in there. Let's see. Buffalo is my number 9 team. I like them quite a bit. Now, I just heard Devin Singletary is out, will probably be out anyway with a hamstring issue. I need to look a little bit more into that. But, you know, this week they play Cincinnati. They're 2-0. I like what this defense is doing. I've been saying all offseason that this defense is really, really good. My question to begin the season, or I should say the offseason, when we were doing our previews, was whether or not Josh Allen was going to be able to carry this offense. He looks like he can. What I don't love right now about the Bills is they're just kind of slamming Frank Gore's head against the offensive line 3 yards in a cloud of dust and then throwing the ball deep. What I liked when I saw preseason, what was kind of getting me a little bit more excited about this Bills team from a betting point of view, what I liked was that, you know, back when they had LeSean McCoy and you know, Singletary, they were throwing the ball into the flats a little bit more. They were throwing, you know, some tight end screens, some wide receiver screens. They were working the short passing game a little bit more, which helps the running game open up and then also helps down the field passing open up as well. So I like that. I know Buffalo has that within them. Right now, it seems like they're just kind of running Frank Gore up the middle and then trying to take deeper shots. I'd like them to see them work short and intermediate just a little bit more. But this Buffalo team, let me tell you, if Josh Allen, and we know what he does on the ground, to me, he looks almost like a little young Cam Newton. You know, there are some accuracy issues. He's had even more opportunities to score even more points. I like this team, man. This team is, I know as you're talking to some other people in the betting circles that they were betting the over on the wins and they're going to hit that. So great for the Bills, great for Bills fans. It's nice to have some excitement there. I hope Singletary will come back soon because I think he's, you know, the most electric player on that team. I like John Brown. I like what they're doing, and I want to give them some respect. So 2-0 Buffalo, you're my number 9 team at the moment, and you certainly have opportunity to move up even more. Number 8 on my list right now is San Francisco, and I struggled with this 5. Oh, sorry, I didn't mention Buffalo. If your future's better, they're at plus 5,000 according to Bovada. You can check that out. I like the Philadelphia bet at 1,500 a little bit more, but you know, do what you want to do. Now back to San Francisco at number 8. I struggled with 5 through 8. And I was scratching out, and you know, if you could see my notepad right now, I was scratching out like all the names and everything. But what I like about San Francisco, the reason I have them at number 8, and I put them ahead of Buffalo, is that I like the front four of San Francisco. They're getting rush, and they can get pushed with the front four defensive line. This team can run the ball effectively. It's a Shanahan system. Shanahan systems always run the ball. They ran 42 times last week if you count Garoppolo's runs for like over 6 yards a carry against Cincinnati. By the way, Buffalo is playing Cincinnati this week. I think Frank Gore has a nice game if you're into daily fantasy, which I am. So yeah, San Francisco, I think they'll play well. They're playing Pittsburgh this week. I like Garoppolo's ability to throw the ball. I like Deebo Samuel. I like Marquise Goodwin. Their receivers are good. They finally basically have talent everywhere on offense to execute the system. They're not going to be at full strength until probably mid-season. They'll keep rolling. We haven't seen even Jalen Hurd yet, another rookie who I think is actually more talented. I'm probably the only person you're going to say that, but I think he's more talented than Deebo Samuel. I mean, we haven't even seen them at full strength. That they have Kittle, they're really good offensively, and when that defensive line can rush the quarterback with four so they can get pressure without blitzing, that's a good thing. And they have Richard Sherman back there. They're another team I think that could be in the Jalen Ramsey thing. If you pair up Jalen Ramsey and Richard Sherman, I think that's worth the investment. Now San Francisco 2-0, this is a very, very good division, the NFC West. For some reason, everybody else is down on them. Brad and I in the Get Paid podcast were very high on the NFC West, and we like the San Francisco 49ers, so that's why they're number 8 on my list. And they're at, according to Bovada, plus 2,500 for futures. I don't think this is a Super Bowl ready team yet. Emphasize yet. I don't think they're Super Bowl ready this year, but they're opening that window. They're not my favorite bet. I still prefer Philly if you're talking about futures bets there. Number 7 on my list is Baltimore. They dropped a couple of spots last week, and I'll tell you why. I like Baltimore quite a bit, but let's face it. They're playing Kansas City this weekend. If they win that game, they're going to vault, you know, back up to like probably number 3 or something on my list. But today they're 7. I like Baltimore. I like their ability to play tough defense. They always play sound football. They don't take a lot of dumb penalties. I love what Greg Roman is doing offensively here. I love the progression of Lamar Jackson, and I do like when he runs, and he ran a lot against Arizona. When he runs, he doesn't take a lot of big hits like his backup quarterback RG3 did in Washington. I love Marquise Brown. I like Mark Andrews. I love the running game. Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, that kind of 1-2 punch. Justice Hills comes in there every now and then. This is a really, really good, talented team. Again, like I said, I mean, they could have been anywhere from 5 to whatever. The reason I kind of dropped them, I think they might have been 5 or 4 last week. I dropped them because Arizona, I expected them to come out and throttle Arizona, and Arizona actually made that a game a little bit late. I want to see a little bit more from this team to rank them higher, but again, they can handle their business against Kansas City this week, and if they do, then they move up in the rankings. Right now, Bovada has them at plus 2,000. If your future's better, I like that. This is a team, in my opinion, that can win the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, I don't think he's necessarily Super Bowl ready, but this team can win in multiple ways, and they can run the ball. And if he can stay healthy, the way he's throwing the ball, and Marquise Brown looks like he's just going to be able to open up the top, you know, and blow the top off of defenses, I like it. I like this Baltimore team quite a bit. It's number 7. Number 6 on my list right now is Russell Wilson in the Seattle Seahawks, who Bovada has at plus 2,200. They're another one. So it's funny because if you look, you know, all the press is basically saying Seattle's in a rebuild. You know, they made the playoffs last year, right? I mean, they made the playoffs last year. And they have Russell Wilson, a guy who's taken this team to the Super Bowl twice, won one of them, really should have won the second one if he didn't throw that bad interception on the goal line. You know, they probably would have lost to Pittsburgh last week had Roethlisberger played, but they didn't. And frankly, let me say this, Mason Rudolph came in and had better numbers when he came in relief than Ben Roethlisberger did before he went out. So you can make that argument either way. I personally feel like Seattle would have lost that game on the road at Pittsburgh, but it doesn't matter because they're 2-0. This team can run the ball. This receiving core This is why I like them a little bit more. Their receiving core to me looks better than any receiving core that Russell Wilson has ever had. Of course, I love what Tyler Lockett and that connection and chemistry he has with Wilson. DK Metcalf is only going to get better. And I like their young guy. I think his name is Malik Turner. He looks like a big, physical, imposing receiver. And then you have Will Disley and Nick Vannett, who they're not something to, you know, that you're really going to stake your fantasy football franchise on. But let me be real about this. Will Disley caught, I think, 2 touchdowns in 4 games last year before getting hurt. I think he has another 2 this season in the first 2 games. He's somebody you got to pay attention to. Russell Wilson likes him on the goal line. This team can score. And his defense, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, he's only going to make them better. This defense is young. And Pete Carroll has them playing good football. He had them playing good football last year. They're not in a rebuild, guys. Like, get over it. They're not in a rebuild. Bovada, once again, has them at plus 2,200. So if your future's better, you know, I like that one. Tough division, NFC West. They haven't even started kind of knocking on each other yet, but I like that team. Number 5 on my list, another NFC West team, the Rams, at plus 900 Bovada has them at. So the Rams, to me, they're not playing at peak yet, and that's a good thing if you're a Rams fan. Who cares if you're at peak in week 1? I mean, we're seeing New England and Kansas City at peak in week 1. We saw the Rams at peak, early in the season last year. We saw Green Bay at peak a few years ago in like weeks 1 through 8. That stuff doesn't matter, okay? What matters is that you hit your peak in playoff time. Jared Goff, I think he played a little bit better last week. They're going to be playing Cleveland this week. It's going to be a very interesting game to watch. Todd Gurley, 16 carries compared to Malcolm Brown, 6. This isn't a backfield split. Again, I think Los Angeles is very mindful that they want Gurley fresh at the end of the season. When it's crunch time, Gurley still gets the carries. This is a very good team, and I've just been talking about their offense. Defensively, they're really good. They have Aaron Donald still. I like this team a lot. We'll see how that shakes out. This NFC West, I think, is very talented. It wouldn't be a shock to me if they put 3 teams in the playoffs, probably because everybody's so tough and it's going to be so strong and there's going to be opportunities elsewhere. It's probably going to be 2 teams in the playoffs for them. But again, 14 games left. It's a long season. Once again, they are plus 900. Number 4 on my list because, again, I do this NCAA stuff. So I had 2 top 10 teams playing last week in Green Bay and Minnesota. Green Bay won. So I'm going to rank them. I moved them up out of respect. They went out to a 21-0 lead early, and then they were outscored 16-0 for the rest of the game. Minnesota couldn't close it out. That looked like it was going to be a blowout. So credit Minnesota, and I do like, once again, I do like Minnesota. No disrespect to them, but they're 1-1, and I just want to talk about some other teams. But Green Bay, 2-0, their defense is looking good. I think their offense is going to get better. They played this season, they played the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings to open up. Those are 2 really good defenses. They were able to get some rushing yards going. They commit to the run, which I think will open things up for Aaron Rodgers and this offense down the field. The receivers are great. Geronimo Allison, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, obviously Devontae Adams. Then you have Kumerow, who I like. You have Jimmy Graham. These are good receivers. Aaron Rodgers is going to have his day in the sun, believe me. They just played some really hard defenses. Once the matchups get a little bit more favorable for Green Bay, we'll see how things move forward. Who are they playing this week? Let me look real quick. They're playing Denver this week, who I think is another good defense. So they might have maybe some trouble moving the ball again, but you know, this offense is going to be good. And what's really interesting about this team is that they can run the ball and they can play defense. And so when you do that and you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, this might be the best chance Aaron Rodgers has had to win a Super Bowl since they made the NFC Championship game a few years ago. So Bovada has them at plus 1,200. As a futures better, I don't love it, but then again, I think I picked them to go to the NFC Championship before the season started. So plus 1,200, that is a, you know, pretty good. It's basically 12-1. So Bovada plus 1,200 for Green Bay. Number 3 on my list right now is the Dallas Cowboys. My top 3 from last week are not changed. They're unchanged. So Dallas, they took care of Washington in Washington. They have Miami this week, so they're very likely to stay up on this list. Unless they, you know, almost blow it, they might move down. Like if they give up a lot of yards to Miami's offense and Josh Rosen in his first start there, you know, that might warrant me moving Dallas down a little bit. But the odds are, you know, I think they're like 23-point favorites or something like that. I haven't looked at Bovada recently, but they're pretty good. So Dallas right now is at plus 1,100. As a futures bet, I like them. To me, like, I think that Green Bay Bay and Dallas are the top two teams in that conference right now. I like what Dak Prescott's doing, but you know, they played the Giants and they played the Redskins. They're 2-0 in the division. That's a big deal for them to get into the playoff hunt. Kellen Moore, you know, the defensive coordinators don't really have a really good book of knowledge on him yet to see his play calling tendencies. We'll see what happens in the middle of the year. Then we have number two on my list, the Kansas City Chiefs at +700, according to Bovada. They're just electric. Nobody can stop the Kansas City Chiefs at this point. They play the Baltimore Ravens. Very interesting game. We're going to see a lot of information there. You know, if Baltimore plays them tough, and even if they lose, they're probably going to stay in the top, 10. You basically, the loser of this game, if it's a close game, is going to stay in the top 10 in my power rankings this year. So, I mean, they're just two really good teams playing each other early in the season. Very interested to see what happens. My guess is that Baltimore throttles the run and Patrick Mahomes beats them over the top. But we'll see if Baltimore's defense, their tough defense, can rise to the challenge. Number one on my list right now is still the New England Patriots. Antonio Brown looked really good this week. You know, I'm not even talking about the allegations. It looks like he's not going to be prosecuted anyway with the main stuff. You know, I talked about them on other podcasts. If you want to get my opinion, you can flip over, on Underdog TV on YouTube. Look for that stuff. But Tom Brady threw, he was the most targeted receiver already in this offense in his first game. Tom Brady, I think there was some timing issues, maybe some route running issues, like just unfamiliarity between, the Tom Brady and Antonio Brown. The chemistry will continue to get better. He threw to Antonio Brown in the end zone quite a bit last week. Antonio Brown had one. He could have easily had two or three. I think this Antonio Brown experiment's going to work. They are still my favorites to win, and Bovada agrees they're at +300 to win the Super Bowl this year. So there you go. There is my my weekly power index, my power rankings with respect to the Lions, with respect to the Chargers, who are 1-1, with respect to the Oakland Raiders. I'm seeing you, Oakland. I know what you're doing. You played a really tough Kansas City team. You can get back on the list this week if you take care of business in Minnesota. And Minnesota, respect to you, if you take care of business against a team and who I think is pretty good in Oakland, you'll probably be back on the list. Cleveland, hey, you have a big game against the Rams. We saw what you did against the Jets, but third string quarterback, you know, I want to see it against a good team. You have that opportunity at home. So a lot to like so far. I like a lot of teams, but those are my top 10. Let me know what you think. Who would your top 10 be? If you could comment, just rank your top 10. I'd love to see it. I'd love to talk to you about it. Comments on our YouTube video. Once again, if you could please subscribe to all our content, our podcast on Podcast One, Functional Sportsaholic. I have Pick 6, I have Get Paid, all that stuff. Look for Underdog Sports and Apple iTunes, and then also this channel. Please subscribe. You can hit the red button to your bottom right. You can hit the playlist in your upper right, or you can hit the logo in your upper left, and you can subscribe everywhere. That's how we grow our channel. We really need your support doing that. You know, watch some more content. Comment. Like our video. I'd love to interact with you guys a little bit more. Please do. I am interactive, as you can see from our comment history. So there you go. There's an episode. Hope you all have a great week. Be good to each other.